Hello. This is a recording made at the house of Anthony Edward Mason. We're here to record his childhood memories as he remembers them whilst living in the neighbourhood of RAF Waddington during the war. So then, Tony, really, what can you recollect from your earliest years?
These big planes coming in to land and taking off at night and coming into land and going up to, yeah, we were very near to the edge of the dispersal point. Going up to the dispersal point on a nice day, I suppose, to look at the planes and occasionally been lifted over the fence and put into the planes and shown around. And yeah, the thing I really remember is the wing, you know, where the wings came across the fuselage. It was like a big mountain to me to climb over, and that was the bit that stuck in my mind. And we got shown around the cockpits and the gunnery parts and things like that.
How old were you at this time?
I would be about seven then. I was five, I think, when the war started. I'd be about seven or eight then, I think. There's a bus coming. We didn't go every day or anything like that, but we...
Oh, yeah, you were looking in the cockpit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know whether they were British personnel or not. I can't remember whether they were British personnel. I understand that they were Australian, but I'm not sure. That was part of what we used to do. And then there was another incident when a plane coming in to land, and I seem to remember had been damaged, been out bombing and coming into land, been damaged and crashed in a field just short of the runway, and caught fire and burnt out. And later on, when it was all cold and cleared up and what have you, my brother went up with some friends of his to see the crash site and found some coins, burnt coins, and brought those home. And it was shown to my father, and he just said, "Oh, give them to me, and I'll put them in my pocket and shine them up for you, like, really." And it has always been a standard joke, like, really.
When you were young, then, did you find the war exciting as a child? Was there a lot of activity?
I don't think we did. There was a lot of activity, a lot of air activity, but I can't remember ever finding it exciting. It was, we were there and in among it, it was mostly in the, you know, latish on in the evening, or, you know, early evening or later in the evening when they were taking off, and they were coming back in sort of breakfast time in the morning, seemed to me, when they were coming back into land. And the rest of the, in the daytime, it always was quite quiet, really. And this is what we found out when we went to look at these planes at the dispersal point, was that there was a lot of work going on, doing repairs, patching repairs, and, you know, bomb loading and things like that, which we saw with those. But I can't ever remember it, you know, being excited about it. It was, and then there wasn't so much news about it. We didn't know where they were going or what was happening or whatever. Like, there wasn't like there is now, you know, television news before it happens. Basically, there was no news. There was very little news. We had a newspaper, but there was very little news in the papers, so basically we didn't know. Unless something happened quite close to us, we didn't know really what was happening, like, really.
Your parents, did you ever notice them being anxious at any time?
Well, I mean, they were always concerned when the planes were coming in, certainly coming over the house. You know, it's like, you know, when I went out to see this German, well, I assume it was a German plane, coming over in the morning, and my mother... first instinct was to throw me under the kitchen table, basically, because, I mean, they knew a lot more than I knew what was likely to happen, like, really. And
yeah. Do you want to tell us a bit more about the German aircraft?
Well, it's it really has stuck in my memory about it, because I must have gone outside to get my cycle out to go to school or whatever, I heard this plane overhead and looked up, and it was quite low. It was only just slightly above the house, I thought, and it was firing shots. So they looked like pretty lights coming out of the thing, like, really. And then I just said to my mum, come and look at this, like, and she just put me under the table, basically, and
hid for cover.
Yeah, that's it. But we didn't hear anything about that at all, like, really. We didn't hear anything about the plane that had crashed. At the time, we knew it had crashed because we must have seen the fire, I think. But yeah. but that was sort of late. That was quite early morning, I think, when that came in and crashed, like, really. Yeah. So we didn't hear it.
Your father, he worked up at...
He worked at Dean Farm. Patrick Dean. He was a gentleman, really. I mean, it was the Mere Hall was the absolute bee's knees, like, really. It was the only big place anywhere near, you know. There was Branston, Bradford East, but it was on it. And everything went off there. They used to have little concerts in a concert room, I think it was above the garage. And the church, we used to go to church, and the church was in the hall, in this concert room. I think it was all one room, and everything that happened at the Mere was there, like, really. My dad was the groom. He was a groom. He'd been through the First World War. I think I never found a lot about that, but we have formed the opinion since that he was taking horses to the front and things like that. Nothing was ever said about that, not at any time. And he was a groom for Patrick Dean.
I understand also he joined the Home Guard, didn't he?
Yeah, he was in the Home Guard, yeah. We had quite a few laughs with the Home Guard, like, from what I can remember, really, because they used to, Branston, I think the Home Guard branch was at Branston, and he used to cycle down there on a Sunday morning. They used to have a bit of a mock battle and things like that, a training scheme, and sometimes we all used to go down and watch, and it was a nice day, and we did have a few laughs with that. He was just a member of the Home Guard. Yeah. I think it was anything special, yeah. Like, really.
Yeah.
But I don't think they had rifles. I can't remember seeing the rifles or anything like that. They never had anything to fight with, like, really.
Using pitchforks.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But while during the war, he had to work on the farm. Like, he wasn't mechanical at all, and I think they taught him to drive a tractor, to do the ploughing and things like that. And at the end of the war, I think, you know, at the end of the war, he just threw the license away. He wasn't mechanically minded at all. And he was a groom all of his life, right up to he died. He died in 1956. I did my national service in 1954 to 1956. I was in Libya for 14 months, and I came back from Libya, and he was ill then, like, and he died.
Oh,
in that year.
One of the things that obviously a lot of children remember is your thoughts about the rationing.
How did
that affect you?
Well, it did affect us in many ways. We've said this many times, that it didn't affect us as much as it affected other people, because from my early memories, we always kept a pig every year and killed the pig, and so we had a lot of pig meat and things like that. A lot of it had got to be eaten in a fortnight, at the most 3 weeks, because there was no freezer or anything like that. So a lot of we used to salt a lot of the meat down, but the sort of, you know, the, pork pies and sausages, and my mum's made pork pies, sausages, pig's fries, all sorts of things like that. But they had got to be eaten fresh, basically, like this. So we did always have meat, and we always, certainly in private houses that I've lived in with my dad, my parents, we always had a big garden, and basically we were self-sufficient in vegetables and everything. We always kept a few chickens at home and things like that. And
that's a bit your mum told me.
My mum stopped having sugar in her tea light and things like that. Yeah, that made a difference. I don't think it made a difference to us, but it did to her, and I suppose to my dad, really.
You didn't miss sweets or anything like that, then?
We were nowhere near shops anyway. We used to get odd coppers. I used to go to school at Branston, and we used to get coppers for sweets, I think, at Branston. Because I can remember once, I was going to the post office at Branston, was the other side of the road from the school, and I went, must have got some money from somewhere to go and get some sweets. I went and bought the sweets, and went straight across the road into school and left my bike in the post office yard. Came out of school and thought I'd lost my bike, so we had a big search round then to find the bike. We didn't have the amount of sweets there is now, to get anyway, like, really.
Yeah.
And same with crisps and things like that. I mean, we used to have bags of broken crisps. I think there was a penny or eightpenny or a penny, I think they were. But they were all the real broken bits, like, really. It was a hard life for my family, really, my parents anyway, because they weren't very well paid in those jobs, like, really. But it was the job he liked, I can't ever remember him ever going anywhere for a holiday. That was his life. The horses were his life, like, really. I worked with him later on. I worked with him, I finished up. I'll stop a bit. Yeah.
Okay, will you?
Sorry. At the end of the war, we sort of, once the restrictions had been moved and things like that, my dad decided that he would like a move, like, really, and we moved to Welburn, just nicely outside of Lincoln, really, to another groom's job there, but he only stayed there for about a year. And then he moved to Aisthorpe. They were both doctors we worked for at Aisthorpe, and he had about 7 or 8 years there, I think, and taught me a lot of all my. I mean, I was I did all my. I did a lot of riding. In fact, I worked in a racing stable for a short style up here at Waltham, just up the road here to Waltham. And he taught me to ride.
Obviously, when the war finished, and it was very difficult for society to get back into what it was before the war, did you notice then, as things happened, like the social events at the hall, etc.?
No, we didn't. There was very little. So yeah, there was very little social events at the hall. If they had a concert, if they got somebody to come and do a concert, it was very, very rare, like, really. And the only, my dad didn't go to church. My mum used to take us to church on a Sunday. I think it was Sunday afternoons we used to go. Some of the family was expected to go, I think, when those private service things, like, really, you had to do as you're told when you were in private service, more so than other work, like, really. But But I can't think that I noticed any real difference. It was totally different when we got to Welburn. There was more social life at Welburn than we'd ever known, like, really. And
so you got back to school. Going to school.
Yeah, I went to it. Yeah, and, went to school at Welburn.
That must have been routine, was it, during your time there? Really,
That's it. I mean, there was shops in Welburn and things like that. You know, there was a baker's shop, and there was during the war when we were at the Mere, most of our provisions came either through a visiting co-op or something like that, coming and taking an order one week and bring it the next week, the paper. They used to have paper delivered, and he would, you know, if we wanted something out of Lincoln, he came from Bracebridge, he would get, if I can remember, wanting a pocket knife, and it must have been birthday or something like that, and he brought this pocket knife. You know, we were giving him the money, and he brought the pocket knife. There wasn't the ease to get things in those days that there is now. Like, really, everything had got to be organised, and for quite a long while after the war finished, it was like that. Like, really, when we lived at Aistorp, I think they used to come around with it, taking orders. Like, really.
Well, thanks very much.
Okay.
That's been absolutely wonderful. To reminish back in the war.
Yeah. If you don't want that, you can take that.
We'd like to thank you for that anyway. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.